what caused you to found it? What did you see in the environment that said this must be done? And what is the mission of the Alzheimer's Foundation of America?
You know, at the time that I established the Alzheimer's Foundation of America back in February of 2002, there was an enormous amount of discussion around cure for Alzheimer's disease. And look, I like everyone else, you know, hopes that there is a cure, that there is something that is disease modifying that comes down the pike, you know, that will make Alzheimer's disease a non-issue. However, you know, at the time and even now, I did not find enough emphasis being placed on the caregiving aspects. And there were few organizations that were answering my questions like, you know, what do we do now or what do we do in the meantime until we find a cure? And so the Alzheimer's Foundation of America was established specifically to address some of the gaps as we found it within our nation. And so we first and foremost established National Memory Screening Day, which was really meant to sort of take a look at the issues related to memory problems, not diagnosing Alzheimer's at all, but simply using it as a point of education. That program led to many others, including a program that trains for professionals. There's a website based to help teenagers. Some of our research found that out of all the caregivers for people with Alzheimer's disease, a good portion of them happen to be kids who are caring for, you know, their loved ones with this disease. So everywhere along the way that we found that there was an issue or a gap, the Alzheimer's Foundation of America has tried to sort of address that and make something happen in that regard.
Well, one of the major initiatives of AFA is the Quilt to Remember, which I know you'll be displaying at our Nashville, our Miami, and Minneapolis events this year. And I saw last year, and I was just really touched by the different quilts that that were on display. Can you talk about the quilt, why it was started, and what the goal is?
Yeah, well, you know, know as well as I do that, you know, people with Alzheimer's disease simply just do not have a voice. They're not able to go and speak in public. They're not able to speak about their experiences or try to rally a nation around this important cause and this crisis in our country. Additionally, caregivers are so involved in the 24/7 care of individuals with Alzheimer's disease that really there's no advocacy for this population unless individuals like you and I step up and start speaking on behalf. But I was trying to find a way that would be more powerful, a way that was really pointed and a way that would memorialize and tribute to individuals with, you know, Alzheimer's disease. And so, you know, the AIDS quilt we're all very familiar with back in the 90s. And, you know, that was an incredible testament to the needs and to those individuals and to their families. And so the ALS quilt really seemed to be a simple, you know, extension of that. Here's a population that, you know, doesn't have a voice, and yet now families can contribute panels 4x4, and organizations and facilities and care facilities all over the country can contribute panels. And then these panels, you know, that make up the quilt are able to travel throughout the country, and it is now every week it is portions of it are in different parts of the country. And it really is an opportunity for the community as a whole to come together and to be supportive and also to recognize that there are real people connected to this dreadful disease.
Yeah, in the mid-90s, I remember doing a story on the quilt when it came to D.C. and just was laid out for seemingly miles. Everybody's story was told, who could no longer speak, obviously, was told in the quilt. And that's, I think, the touchstone with the Alzheimer's quilt is that you're keeping your loved one alive and making sure they keep a voice. Is there any thought of bringing them all together at some point?
Yeah, you know, we talked with the, you mean all the panels of the ALS quilt?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the ALS quilt right now has, you know, hundreds of pieces, hundreds of segments that have been contributed, panels that have been contributed, and my understanding even as of today at a staff meeting that I had was, you know, we have a couple hundred more promised. You know, the care of the quilt is very expensive. The display of the entire quilt is very expensive. And so, yes, we'd like to do that at some point in time, probably in Washington, D.C., I think would be most appropriate. And we'll see if maybe we could do that in the near future.
Well, we're frankly very proud to be able to bring pieces of the quilt around to different parts of the country, because I've seen firsthand caregivers how it stops them and touches them. So hopefully then they decide to make a quilt for their loved one. You know,
for sure, absolutely. You know, the other thing too is, you know, wherever we've laid this out, you know, people get it, and people get the sentiment around it, and there's always a sense of reverence, you know, around the panels. I mean, there's no signs that say "silence, please," but yet everyone there, you know, who encounters the quilt, you know, always approaches it, you know, with a sense of reverence and dignity and respect, and I think it's simply because of the lives that are detailed, you know, within. But it has been a great opportunity to bring it to, you know, your caregiver conferences, and we look forward to doing so, you know, throughout the future too.
And now there's another event, a milestone day for AFA, and that was last year, December 4th, 2010. Can you tell me what happened then?
You know, I've had this crazy idea since founding AFA about wanting to do a telethon of sorts. Now, telethon is probably a really bad word, because it wasn't just about asking for money, and I understand that's how we all sort of understand telethons. It was meant to be an event that would, you know, incorporate advocacy and education and highlight some, you know, of the issues surrounding the disease, and also, you know, to get people involved, you know, to get people to reach out, whether it was, you know, financially or just to come to our website and sign a petition or whatever the case was. And so, yes, December 4th, 2010, with the incredible help of NBC Universal out of Burbank, California, Momentum, and Al Roker Productions, Al Roker from the Today Show, we, you know, hosted and put up the very first telethon around Alzheimer's disease, and the reaction and the response was incredible. We ended up with 30 or more celebrities reaching. I mean, this was all very last minute. We probably had 12 weeks, you know, to make it all happen, and yet the number of celebrities that reached out, people who changed their schedules to be in the room, to make sure that they could be there to be of support, the number of people that were connected to the telethon and the cause and understood what Alzheimer's was, the amount of people who came to our website because of it, the thousands of calls of families that called for help. Every time that Al Roker, who hosted the telethon, asked for money, we scripted that two other times for everyone he was asking people to reach out for help and assistance. We really wanted people to know that if they had issues and concerns, they should call. And so we were inundated with people reaching out for help and assistance and just wanting more information and education. And so, you know, it is something about this disease, you know, it has always been veiled, and it has been really hard to get celebrities to step up and be supportive of Alzheimer's disease. It's not a very sexy, glamorous disease at all. And so I think what we've been able to do is, by surrounding it with so many celebrities, by having it on, you know, national TV and reaching, you know, the 16 major markets that we did, which is about 40% of the viewership of the country, I think was an enormous first step at really unveiling and getting people, getting consumers, all of us comfortable with the fact that, you know, Alzheimer's disease is here. It is dreadful. We need to be proactive. We need to be talking to our doctor. We need to be advocating for more research dollars. And we need to be advocating most, you know, for resources to support care, because right now in our country, care is really the primary issue. The one thing, Gary, that I would say that, you know, sits in my head was the night of the telethon. Of course, we were receiving hundreds of emails from all over, and one that was addressed to me, it was a woman who simply wrote, it was like two short lines, I'm going to bed more hopeful because I know that someone out there understands what I'm going through as a caregiver. And I think it was just so pointed, because if nothing else, my hope really was that the telethon was able to let all of those caregivers who are so often isolated and alone, you know, to let them know that someone cares.
Yeah, that's such a big point. That's the thing that keeps me going sometimes when someone comes up to me at the conference and hugs me and says, I didn't know that anyone else was going through this, or
Right.
they email off the website or respond to the magazine. That's the touchstone. That's the point that keeps you going. You
yep,
know?
Absolutely.
The other thing, interesting thing is we've always had celebrities who are caregivers who are or caregiver advocates on the cover of the magazine. And we've had, obviously, them come to the conference, and we had a wonderful interview with your celebrity chairman, Hector Elizondo.
Right.
And one thing that I have to say, even that working with celebrities who are standing up and saying, I'm a caregiver, or standing up and saying, you know, I'm in support of what caregivers do, it's a great equalizer. We had Debbie Reynolds come to our conference 1 year in Toledo, and they never asked her about Singing in the Rain. They didn't ask about her work. They asked her about her caregiving for her mom and
right.
for herself. And so I always say, if you have 400 caregivers in a room and one celebrity who is a caregiver as well, you actually have 401 caregivers in the room.
Right. Right.
So I really think it makes a big difference when they see people that they think shouldn't have any challenge or maybe money creates all the solutions, who are talking openly about their own care situations.
Absolutely. I agree. There is something about that. There is something about, you know, the impact of celebrity. And, you know, for the telethon, having so many folks, celebrities saying, you know, reach out for help, you know, go to our website and all, I think is really a driving force. I think it lets people know that it's okay. I think it lets them know, too, that, you know, they're really not alone, and that this is a common experience. And I think celebrities have the ability to, and perhaps even the obligation to point the way, to give direction, to give guidance, and so many do, as you mentioned, for your magazine, for your conferences, for the Alzheimer's Foundation of America, for our telethon. You know, it's been a wonderful experience, and I know that they've impacted so many lives.
Yeah, and I think they know it too. They're really touched by the communication they get from caregivers. So how can caregivers and caring organizations get involved in the works of AFA?
You know, I guess first and foremost, you know, the one thing about AFA that I think is unique in our country is we're overly collaborative. I think, you know, it's not so much about AFA. AFA serves, you know, as a network. I'm not sure you know, but there is now, Gary, about, you know, 1,600 organizations attached to us from across the United States. We grew by almost 300 organizations last year alone. And I think what that really says is, it says something about AFA perhaps, but I think the bigger thing that it speaks to is the fact that, you know, the crisis is getting to a point where organizations simply need one another to meet the needs of this population. I don't think any organization in our country has the ability to handle, you know, what presently is in the world of Alzheimer's disease and the needs of the present population, not to mention what's coming. My theory simply is we are much more effective doing this side by side, that we're much more impactful sharing our resources. We're better, you know, utilizing our strengths and finding out the strengths of other organizations and collaborating for the good of the population. It also conserves resources and financial resources. And I think what we've been able to do is simply, you know, say, you know, listen, we'll serve as that center point. We'll allow organizations to share best practices. We'll allow them to collaborate and work together. We at a national level will help design national initiatives like National Memory Screening Day or our new Brain Game Challenge that is being rolled out in 2011. All of these are simply ways for organizations at a local level to benefit from exposure and national presence and a national initiative with no real benefit to AFA, you know, directly or financially, but simply that we're trying to help organizations be the most that they possibly can. And so I think those who are interested, or organizations who are interested, obviously, you know, can come and choose to collaborate and work with us in whatever area or concerns they would like to. And then I think for caregivers, you know, just realize that our website is an incredible resource of information, literally hundreds of pages of information about Alzheimer's disease and other type of related illnesses and behavioral problems and early diagnosis and caregiving tips. I mean, we have a wealth of information that is available. I think another way that, you know, people can, you know, benefit from AFA is, you know, we have our magazine as well, Care Advantage, which is, you know, really tidbits of information for Alzheimer's caregivers, and that's a free subscription. Right now, we have about 1 million readers across the United States who, you know, pick that up and see that on a quarterly basis, and so folks should know that that is a resource that is available free to them. And really, you know, if folks would like to be involved with AFA or any of our member organizations, you know, you can find more information about us and our member organizations on our website. You know, volunteering, you know, lending a hand, perhaps making a contribution, you know, are all ways, you know, this organization is successful.
What would you say to a caregiver? Let's say give your caregiver elevator speech. You only have time to give the most important piece of advice to a caregiver that you run into. What would that piece of advice be?
I think it comes down to this. There is nothing in our life that has ever prepared us to care for anyone with Alzheimer's disease. It takes education, it takes resources, it takes support. And so you need to reach out to find those for yourself so that you can be the most effective caregiver you want to be.